You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. It sounds simple, I know, but it's kind of not. Sussing out where things stand 11 days out from when this election is going to end. But that is the job, so we will do it. Gina Smilek's at the New York Times. Kate Davidson is at the Wall Street Journal. Hey, you two.
Hi, Kai. Hey, Kai.
So, Gina, let me start with you and the first question, which I think is the easy one. Big picture, where does this economy stand right now?
The economy is recovering, but it is absolutely not through the wilderness yet. You know, we've seen unemployment come down really sharply. It's down to 7.9% as of September, which is, you know, it was at nearly 15% back in April. So that's pretty solid and rapid recovery. But that said, 7.9% is still very high unemployment. We've still got, you know, millions and millions of people out of work who had jobs as recently as February. And there's still a lot of progress left to be made getting those people back to work, helping them make up for the income that they've lost over this period, and making sure that they can sort of get back to regular economic life to the extent possible.
Kate, we are going to get a report next Thursday, the first look at third quarter gross domestic product. It's going to be a big bounce off a really bad bottom, and there will be much made of it. Frame that for me, would you, in terms of where this economy stands?
Well, Republicans, you know, will be very excited. They'll be talking about how positive this report is, how it demonstrates that the economy is really bouncing back. As you said, though, it's coming off of this low, so it's going to be important. We'll hear a lot of economists saying you need to look at the level, not the rate. So, well, we'll see this huge percentage increase. As Gina mentioned, the level of GDP is still way below where we were before the pandemic. There are still millions of people out of work, so it's important to think about it in that context. And I think it's also important to remember that we have more recent signs that some of that momentum that we had over the summer has stalled. You know, getting the initial sort of waves of people back to the jobs, you know, the employment gains we've seen so far. The way to think about those are sort of the easy pickings, if you will. You know, there was sort of an easy big bounce when businesses that had been completely shut down started to reopen. But I think it will take much longer from here on out to see more improvement.
Gina, I don't want to get too weedy, but you wrote this week about the Federal Reserve and how some of the programs that the Fed initially powered up with Treasury backing behind it, and let me repeat, we don't need to get too weedy here, it kind of hasn't panned out. And I need you to explain what's going on with that.
Right. So I think of this as sort of a two-part story. So part one is the good news part of the story, which is that the Fed came out and said, hey, look, guys, we have $454 billion to back these programs. Any kind of market chaos you throw at us, we can deal with it. And just having that sort of confident statement and all of that money behind them allowed them to really convince markets that things were going to be okay, provided a backstop, allowed markets to calm down. And so they never really had to employ that money just because the private sector took care of itself once it was confident that the Fed was ready to step in. Part two of the story is a little bit less optimistic, which is that the Fed had promised to try and set up these facilities that would lend money to mid-sized businesses and get money to municipalities. The municipality program has worked to some degree as a backstop, but it hasn't made a lot of what I think you can essentially think of as loans. And the mid-sized business program hasn't been used very much at all. And so for various design reasons, those programs have fallen a little bit flat. And so I think that's the less happy part of the story is, you know, the Fed tried to stretch into areas where it hasn't really tread before, and it didn't always work out super well.
Okay, so we had the Fed with its lending programs, Kate. I want to pick up on something you reported on this week, and we did some work on this week as well, and that is fiscal stimulus, relief from Congress and the White House, and how it is not coming, and how that imperils the way this recovery is going to look. Explain that.
Sure. So I think one way to think about it, which is what we tried to do, is comparing it to the last economic downturn. You know, what happened after the 2008 crisis? Within a couple of years, Congress had done a bunch of stimulus, but then the Tea Party came in, and people were worried about all the spending and deficits, and they pulled back. They sort of shifted to austerity. They tightened belts, the federal government and cities and states. And what that essentially did, we know this, you know, over time, there's been a lot of research, we can look at the numbers, that was a drag on economic growth, and it ultimately slowed down the recovery. We had a very long expansion, the longest in history, but it was pretty weak. It was not that strong. And so, policymakers are really worried about making the same mistakes this time. So they're concerned that the longer the economy goes without more fiscal support, most economists think the economy needs some more fiscal support, more economic relief, the longer it goes, the harder it's going to be to stave off some of these traditional recessionary forces. So more layoffs, falling incomes, a pullback in lending, lower demand, things just start to get really hard to counteract the longer the economy goes in this weak state. And that just can lead to a really uneven and long, slow, painful recovery.
Which is, it has to be said, kind of what we're looking at now, given the way those negotiations are going. Gina, I am loath to dip too much into the debate last night, but anything in half a minute or so that economically struck you out of that debate?
I think one of the interesting things that I think came up again and again in the debate is that so much of what happens next in the American economy actually hinges not necessarily on any specific economic policy, but rather on the pandemic response. Mm-hmm. I think that President Trump clearly is portraying himself as the better option for the economy because he's not going to close it all down again, because he doesn't want to do that, and because, that'll allow us to keep going. I think Vice President Biden has clearly made it a real talking point that, the reason we had to close down so drastically in the first place is that we didn't get this under control. And so I think, we've got control on one hand, lockdown, no lockdowns on the other, and voters are going to have to make a choice there.
Kate, 30 seconds, super quick, last word to you. Anything you want to point out from last night?
No, I think that Gina's right. I thought, Kai, you were going to ask me about the stimulus. So I had a zinger for you, which is,
go ahead.
If I may. This is my world right now. I can't stop thinking about this. And really, I thought a colleague put it perfectly this week. He said, it's like when you're on the phone, there's really not much more to say, but nobody wants to hang up. I think that's kind of where things are. So if you were sitting there thinking, well, it sounds like Washington's going to come together and we'll have some stimulus soon, I don't know about that. I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, you hang up first.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Gina Smilek at the New York Times, Kate Davidson at the Wall Street Journal. Thanks, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kai.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.